You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Huge welcome again. My name is Josh, part of the team here. And welcome to Whole Vineyard, 6 p.m. So excited for what God's doing in this service and this community and our church as a whole. And so I'm really excited. We're launching a brand new series tonight. It's called Mindset, subtitled Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. And what I'm going to be doing tonight is really an introduction to the series for the next 5 weeks. We're going to be going on the journey of what it looks like as disciples to have healthy minds, minds that are focused on good things, right things, and see what God has to say about the mind. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about topics such as the battle for the mind, which I'll touch on tonight, but Sarah is going to unpack brilliantly next week. We're going to be looking at temptation, how to control our minds. We're going to be looking at what it looks like to be free from anxiety and live with a mind of peace. And we're going to look at what it looks like to live with the mind of Christ, as the Bible talks about. So I hope you're excited. I'm really excited too. And if you've got a Bible, just open it, if you can, to Romans chapter 12. This is going to be really the anchor verse, or two verses for us, as our scripture in this series. And we start Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Just interesting how this has all worked out. I preached this morning from a passage in Colossians where I talked about this, but mainly focusing on how to discern the will of God. I encourage you to listen if that is something that is causing you stress and anxiety in life. But today I want to focus really on the first half of that verse, which says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, be transformed. There is transformation available to every single one of us. And how do we experience and encounter that transformation? It says, by renewing your mind. Let me tell you a story. There was a husband and wife eating dinner, and lamb was on the menu this particular night. It was a joint of lamb, and the wife is preparing the lamb joint. And before she puts it in the oven, she chops a third of this lamb joint off and throws it away and cooks the rest. And the husband says, why did you just do that? And she says, well, that's how you cook lamb. You cut a third of it off, you throw that away, and then you cook the rest. And the husband says, really? Why do you do that? And she says, well, I don't really know, but I was taught it from my mother. And so the husband can't really understand this, but the next day he calls the mother-in-law, and he says, my wife cooked me lamb last night, it was delicious, but she did this thing where she cut a third of it off, threw it away, and then cooked the two-thirds of it. And the mother-in-law said, yeah, that's exactly how we cook lamb. And he says, why do you do it like that? And the mother-in-law says, well, that's just how you cook lamb. And he said, well, who taught you to do that? And the mother-in-law said, well, my mother actually taught me. So the husband is like, can't get his head around this. No one knows why they're doing it. They're all doing the same thing. And so he calls the grandma the next day. And he says to the grandma, grandma, I had a delicious joint of lamb from your granddaughter, my wife. She cut a third of the joint off before cooking. She says that that's how she was taught by her mother. And she says the mother says she was taught by you. Why do you do that? Why do you cut the third of the joint off? And the grandma said, well, I cut it off because my oven was too small. It wouldn't fit in. Here's the principle, guys. How many of us have ways of living that we have walked into without really knowing why? Maybe we've absorbed cultural habits by osmosis. Maybe we've picked things up and had things passed down to us generationally. Maybe our lives today are a result of words that have been spoken over us. Some of us are trapped in a way of thinking about life because it's been handed to us. We don't really know why we think like this. And we are unable to escape. The reality is, for every single one of us, we are on a journey of discipleship, a journey of growth, a journey of becoming like Jesus, growing in maturity. And how many of you know God is interested in growth? He wants every single one of us to grow up before we grow old, Some Christians, said this morning, have been Christians for 30 years, but they stopped growing after 3. The only thing more important about more important than who we are today is who we are becoming tomorrow. And so we're passionate about growing. And the reality is we're all on a journey. We all do things we wish we didn't do. Anyone in the room? Okay, just me. How about this? We all long to do things which we really struggle to do. We all have unhealthy habits and patterns and ways of living that we long to be fully free from. We all have ways of seeing the world, ways of seeing ourselves, ways of seeing others, which isn't healthy. I don't think there's a person here who could say, I'm exactly where I want to be. If you can say that, you should come and preach. But many people today live with a mind that isn't healthy. Let me give you a few examples of this. Many people live with a divided mind. A divided mind, lacking a singular focus, a vision, and a drive. Many people live with distracted minds. If I'm honest, I put myself in that category. A lot of times I find myself distracted. One author says this generation has been distracted into distraction by distraction. There's just millions of voices and things which could steal our attention at any moment. We have so many competing narratives and scripts and ideas and causes. We are drowning in content, scrolling ourselves into oblivion, and we wonder why we struggle. There are people here who struggle with disillusioned minds, discouraged minds, depressed minds. You will all be familiar with the fact that we live in a culture and a moment where there is a mental health crisis. Jonathan Haidt recently wrote a book called The Anxious Generation. The reality is so many people, many of us in this room, have struggled mentally with anxiety. And so just as we begin to talk about the mind and mindsets and thought patterns at the outset, I want to encourage anyone, if you're here and you are struggling mentally, to, as well as getting prayer, you may want to go see a doctor or a mental health professional. It's so helpful, so important. You need to know that you are not alone. And we don't just say, get prayer. We love prayer. Prayer is powerful. But we do prayer and professionals. It is a both and as well. But today, I really want to talk about how the difference for disciples is shifting our thinking. Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. It is saying this, our thoughts are powerful. Our lives follow the patterns of our thinking. In other words, your life moves in the direction of your mindset. And therefore, to change your life, you must first change your mind. The mind is powerful. I recently went to a wedding with Hannah. We left the kids behind. They were being looked after, don't worry. And we went to Germany for 4 days. And I got chatting to this guy at the wedding. And he was in the army, and he was just telling me about life. And I was I'm so interested in people who do things really well. So I was interested in fitness, because he's a fitness guy. I said, what kind of fitness things have you done? And he said, oh, well, a couple of years ago, I went to the Arctic and I ran an ultra marathon, 200 kilometers over 60 hours without a break in minus 50. Like, I don't even go for a run around the block where there's clouds in the sky. And then he said, and the next month, I did the Sahara Desert, 250 kilometers over a number of days and plus 50 degrees. I was like, how is that possible? He said it was just this idea of pushing your mind more and your body, but mainly your mind as far as it could go, and doing minus 50 and plus 50. I was really inspired. And I spoke to the guy who'd invited him, the groom, and he said, yeah, he is just the most mentally driven guy he's ever met. And here's the idea, the principle there is our minds are powerful. Would we agree that? Our minds are powerful. Now, this is a biblical principle that our lives follow our minds, but it's also a scientific reality. Dr. Caroline Leaf, cognitive neuroscientist and communication pathologist, don't know what that means, but it sounds impressive. She writes this, your thoughts become your actions become your habits, and your habits become your life. Take a photo of that, that's good. William James, the psychologist and founder of American Psychology, writes this, the greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter their life by altering the attitude of mind, their attitude of mind. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. It's almost like modern science is catching up with biblical truth. Isn't that interesting? So it's psychology, but it's more than psychology. Now it is actually neurology. Modern neuroscience shows us that your brain is not static. It is constantly being shaped by your mental habits. Dr. Norman Doidge writes this: every sustained thought and behavior physically changes the structure of the brain. In other words, what you repeatedly focus on doesn't just stay in your mind. It becomes embedded in your neural wiring. Over time, these repeated patterns become more efficient, more automatic, and more dominant in how you respond to life. That means your thinking isn't just shaping how you feel in a moment. It is shifting and impacting your brain. It's almost like in Romans 12, when it talks about be transformed by renewing your mind, God knew what he was talking about. It's powerful. So it's a biblical principle. Science has just caught up, but it's actually far more than just self-help and positive thinking. It's got to be more than that, guys. For followers of Jesus, how we think has a dramatic impact on our lives, on our relationship with God, and on our discipleship. A.W. Tozer, the theologian, famously said this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. In other words, our theology impacts our biography. So all of that to say, how we think, what we think about, what we allow into our minds has a huge impact. What we meditate on has a huge impact on our lives. So what does this all mean for us as Christians in the 21st century? Well, I want to give you three key ideas biblically for us tonight as we kick off this series, Mindsets. And the first idea is this, that there are two primary mindsets that exist for all humans biblically, and we must choose every day which we align with. Romans 8, 5-9 says this: those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Romans 8 teaches us that there are these two opposing mindsets that exist. The first is the mindset of the flesh. And that is really living with our fleshly desires at the forefront of our minds. When we live with the mindset of the flesh, we're allowing the desires of our flesh to impact and infiltrate A, our thoughts, and then B, the way we live. To live with the mindset of the flesh is really to live to please ourselves. It is being preoccupied with what I want. It is being consumed with worldly things. A flesh mindset is a few things. It is reactive. It is feelings-led. It is self-focused. It is governed and ruled by anxiety, hostility, and fear. A flesh mindset that says this: I am the most important person in my life. I am in charge. I am in control, and everything exists to satisfy me. That sounds a lot like the world we live in. Now compare this with the mind of the Spirit. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And he invites us and begins to help us set our minds not on what we want, not on what we desire, but actually on the things of the Spirit. This is a mind governed, ruled by the Spirit. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. It's when our mindset and our thinking is consumed and surrounded by the things of the Spirit that leads to life and peace. It means that from the inside out, the Holy Spirit works in us, manifesting the life and peace of Jesus through us, and it begins with what we think about. So there is this tension in the Christian life. There is a battle, if you like, between the mindset of the flesh and the mindset of the Spirit, and every single day we must choose. Will we die again to ourselves? Will we choose to set our minds on things above? Will we let the Spirit of God rule and reign in our thinking, which will overflow in our lives, bringing life and peace to those around us? The first idea is this. Romans 8, there are two mindsets. Which one will we choose? The second big idea, which Sarah's going to talk about next week, but I really wanted to open the conversation and is this tonight. We live in a spiritual battle, and the battlefield is the mind. Ephesians 6 says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." Now, I don't want to alarm anyone tonight, but there is a very real spiritual world beyond that which we can see. And in this spiritual world, the Bible says, there are all sorts of things going on. There is a battle, if you like. There are all sorts of beings and powers and principalities. And the reality is there are forces of evil which are trying to distract, disillusion, and destroy followers of Jesus. There is a spiritual battle, and the primary place that this spiritual battle takes place is in your minds. And one of the primary ways the enemy attacks children of God is through our thoughts. This is where the war takes place. I don't want to, again, freak you out, but I don't know if you've ever realized this, that not every thought that pops into your head is yours. You ever realize that? Not every thought you have is yours. Oftentimes, the enemy picks an opportune moment to fire an attack on your mind. A thought of doubt, maybe, or self-condemnation, or shame, or a reminder of sin, or accusation, or discouragement. And if we're unaware, the Bible says, do not be unaware of the enemy's schemes. If we're unaware that the enemy attacks us in this way, then we can often think that actually the thoughts we have are ours, or even just maybe it's Jesus. And then we can begin to believe lies. Don't forget the enemy, the Bible says, is the father of lies. And so what happens is when these thoughts come, these fiery darts, as the Bible says, we have a choice. Do we receive those thoughts and believe them and allow them to shape our life moving forward? Or do we do something different? Paul gives us a clue in another passage. It says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world." I think it's 2 Corinthians. "On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Strongholds. A word on strongholds. The reality is, guys, we all have strongholds in our minds. What is a stronghold? Well, a stronghold is something that has a strong hold on you. If you believe that you'll never amount to anything, that's a stronghold. If you believe you'll never be free from debt, that's a stronghold. If you believe that you're no good and God doesn't love you, that's a stronghold. If you believe that you'll never get free from the addiction you're struggling with, that's a stronghold. There is a stronghold in your mind, and you need to know that Jesus came to destroy every stronghold once and for all. And our job is to now walk in the authority and the victory that he has already won for us. I heard someone say this, and it really resonated with me, that the enemy, the devil, has some power, but no authority except that which we hand over to him. How do we hand over authority? We hand over authority when we agree with him and when we obey him, when we surrender our authority. So when a thought comes into our head, we have two options. Do we agree with it and implement it into our life, or do we put it in prison? Paul talks about taking thoughts captive. How do we do that? It's essentially to name a thought as being wrong, not of God, and not good, and sending it away. Paul says that we should take every thought captive. Every thought that's not true, not from him, not in alignment with what the word says. We recognize it, we silence it, we take it captive, we bend its knee to Jesus. Sarah's going to unpack that a lot more next week, and I'm so excited. And here's my final thought as I bring this to land. We must intentionally and consistently renew our minds. Let's get practical now, guys. We have to retrain our brains We need to create new pathways which lead to new patterns. Let me read that verse again in Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how do we do this? If you're making notes, three ways to renew our minds. Number one, be intentional with what we think about. Be intentional with what we allow into our mind. Philippians 4 goes even further. It says this, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, think about these things. This is a thought filter, isn't it? Isn't this helpful? So here's a question for us all tonight. What are we filling our minds with? What are we looking at? What are we listening to? What are we allowing into the mind that God has given us? Because I believe whatever you feed your mind with grows. Intentionality matters. We've got to, with our mindsets, we've got to live on purpose. And I think one of the biggest battles many of us have is with social media. You can be scrolling for a little while, be so distracted and so zoned out and just trying to escape from the busyness of life. And all of a sudden you find yourself watching things where if you're really honest, it's like, this is not good for me. Has anyone been there? This is not good. And you have no idea the consequence of that on your mind. So we've got to be intentional with what we think about. And I would even say, let's be ruthless with our thoughts. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, think about these things. Number two, we must fill our minds with God's truth. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is the primary way that we renew our minds in truth. We soak ourselves in the word. We eat the word as our daily bread. Let it be our food. Let it reorder our desires. Let it shape our identity. Let it rewire our brain and remind us who God is and restore your calling. Guys, in the world that we live in today, where there are so many competing narratives and scripts and ideas and voices, who are we listening to shape and form our thinking and our thought patterns? Make our first priority the word of God. Memorize scripture. Take intentional breaks from social media. I think this is a really helpful pattern that we recognize thoughts that we know are not of God. We renounce them when we've maybe made agreements with them and believed them. We replace them with truth. And then we receive the Holy Spirit as we move on and journey. So that is recognize, renounce, replace, and receive. It's a powerful tool for us as we're engaging and thinking about what we're thinking about. What are the lies? What have I made an agreement with? Number three, speak truth over yourselves and over others. The tongue is powerful. And there is a significant partnership between what we speak and what we think. Oftentimes, a thought can come into our head that we know is not right, but when we speak it out loud as though it's true, it's almost like we give legs and authority to something that isn't true. Maybe something that the enemy has spoken to us or something negative that other people have spoken to us. And when we say it out loud, we begin to believe it and it rewires our thinking. And so this is why it's so important to declare truth over yourselves. I'll give you a couple of examples. There's a guy in our church called Haggai. He won't mind me sharing this. It must have been 15 years ago. He was like a professional dancer. So he's very, I don't know why I'm saying this, but he was very ripped. And that's not even part of the unnecessary detail. But anyway, and about 15 years ago, we went on an Emerging Leaders Weekend conference. And we shared a room. And so I remember waking up, I was tired. I remember waking up and hear someone talking. And I was like, who's Haggai talking to? And he was stood in front of a mirror, like a full-length mirror. And he was looking himself in the eyes. And he was saying, you are a beautiful man. You are, I think he said that. You are God. He was saying things like, you are God's son. You are chosen. You are loved. And he was speaking truth over himself. And I was like, it makes sense. This guy carries so much of the love of God. He's such a powerful character. He's so, self-assured and confident. I just thought it's because he's sown in his mind the truth. And then I'm a big believer that actually when we speak things over others, it's really powerful. I wish I had the accurate stats, but I read somewhere that one negative thing that you speak over someone takes dozens and dozens of positives to make up for it. I wish I had the stats on that. I just thought of that right now. But I've got two kids, and I'm really, really careful to speak truth and vision and hope over my children as much as possible. So, for example, I have these things that I say to my kids every single day since Ivy went to school, and she could recite this to you. I say the same thing to my daughter when I drop her off every day for school. I say this: you're a leader, not a follower. Don't let the world change you. You go out there and change the world, and nobody believes in you more than mummy and daddy. And she says, and Jesus. I say, yes, and Jesus. But every single day, you're a leader, not a follower, Ivy. Don't let the world change you. You go out there and change the world, and nobody believes in you more than mummy and daddy. Every single day. And even I was reading this, I thought to myself, oh, I'll share that. And I said to her, Ivy, what's that thing that I say to you every single day? And she recited it back to me. And so I want her to go into these environments. It's like Daniel in Babylon. It's like, I need my daughter to know who she is in Christ, that she is precious, that she is chosen, that she is loved, that she can do anything through Christ who gives her strength. And mummy and daddy are cheering her on wherever she goes. Because the reality is, our kids are going into environments that we've never known. And they're going into battles, and many of you will be in those kind of environments as well. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know whose you are, who you belong to. You need to know what Jesus has done for you, and you need to have these things in your mind so that you can be free. Here are some scriptures that you could read over yourself. I quoted this one this morning, Ephesians 2:10. I am God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. 1 Peter 2:9, I am chosen. I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You know, when you're battling with thoughts of maybe low self-image, maybe imposter syndrome, whatever it might be, don't just agree. Try not, I know it's so hard, try not to agree with those thoughts. Recognize them, call them out, and replace them with truth. Romans 8, I am forever free from condemnation. When the enemy comes at you and whispers something that you've done in your past, you can say, no, the word of God says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to hold on, stand on the word of God. When someone says you cannot accomplish anything, Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're struggling and feeling really afraid, 2 Timothy 1:7, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. When you feel under attack, Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When you're struggling and you think you're on shaky ground, Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and he will deliver me. When you're feeling like life is really hard, Ephesians 1, I have so many spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Philippians 4, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches. And the point is this, guys, I could go on and on and on. The Bible is truth. The Bible is the word of God. And so with all the lies that are going on in our world, all the things that we take into our minds on social media, all the things that we've adopted generationally from our parents, even our great parents, pass things on which maybe are not helpful, we've got to line everything up against the word of God and allow the word of God to shape and change our mindset rather than the other way around. And so this week, I want to encourage you. Here's the takeaway, guys. Think about what you're thinking about. Think about what you're taking into your mind. Be aware of the spiritual battle that exists for your mind and recognize that not every thought is yours. And as you transform, as you renew your mind with the word of God, with declarations of truth, what will happen is your life will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.